You know, I call it my spark, and it's my passion, my enthusiasm. That's what I sell. All I'm selling is that's all I have. You know, to me, you know, obviously I like to think I'm good at other things, but my biggest draw, I know, is and also what I consider the biggest currency in the world is the effect you have on others.
Absolutely.
And time, but the effect you have on others can generate into anything. And if you lose that spark and you're not doing something you're passionate about, then, you know, I wouldn't know what to sell.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
I am here today with none other than Zach Weinstein. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited, man.
Well, I'm going to read a little bit here about who Zach Weinstein is, because you are an actor. You're a producer. You're a filmmaker. You're the co-founder of Dynasty Pictures, which is based here in Hollywood in LA. You're also a partner in VocaView, which is a really interesting company, which amazingly transforms radio streams into searchable web content. So not only are you an accomplished actor, producer, you know, LA, but you're also an entrepreneur. You know, you're part of this amazing technology, which will probably revolutionize the way that radio is used. What do you do in the afternoons?
Yeah, I keep busy, man. So yeah, when I got, I acted a little bit as a kid, and you know, I have a business background. I actually started my first company. It was a construction company in college.
I saw that. Because it's this sort of, you know, I was wondering what that was, because one of your profiles, it talks about, you know, being a technician. And I was thinking, wow, I mean, what was that?
Yeah, the company was called CW Maintenance. And basically what we did like small time repairs. The opportunity kind of fell into my lap, and I'm definitely an opportunist. I was 20 years old and took advantage of a good opportunity, and the company ended up taking off. But
you got to say yes. So when these opportunities come around, I mean, you've got to be able to spot them though. I think that's the trick.
Oh, 100%. But I'm a firm believer. I have a problem with letting opportunities that I see, big opportunity. And I can't let those just, you know, pass me by and not at least try to become, you know, a part of it in some way, shape or form. So I got involved in this construction company, knew nothing about construction, just knew, knew a lot about relationships and how to form relationships. And, you know, I was selling myself. I wasn't selling construction. And, I learned a lot about business doing that.
But what did the construction company do?
We did small time repairs. We did facility maintenance. So what we did was, you know, we worked with a lot of the, I'll say nationwide retail. Yes. So like the Walmarts, the Sears, the JCPenney's, we pretty much go into these big, you know, retail stores, and we do small time repairs, whether it be a busted tile or painting a wall or drywall fix or, you know, whatever it was. They couldn't legally, their insurance doesn't cover one of their employees to climb a ladder and change a light.
Oh, I see. Brilliant. So what, you were sitting there studying, you know, like rocket science or something, presumably.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and so... What did you have this idea, or did someone come to you and say,
"Here's"? No, I was working for my stepfather, and originally I was doing restoration work for him, because he had a restoration company, and these small time jobs started coming to us from these companies that we were already doing bigger jobs for. It was just a completely different kind of thing, and one thing led to another. And by the time I graduated college, we were servicing the East Coast, and moved to New York doing that. Was doing that out of school for about 2.5 years. Was making really good money, but was completely miserable, and was in a miserable relationship, and just was miserable. And was looking for passion. Got involved in a champagne company that I invested into. Got involved in.
I saw that as well. It was with the Champagne Alliance. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Casa, so Champagne and Spirits Alliance. So we pretty much brand our champagne through already existing brands. It's kind of escalated. It's now become more of a spirits company as opposed to just champagne. So, we're looking to pretty much license our beverages through brands that already have big name brands and big name, or celebrities. So we're not fighting for a brand name. We're not fighting for, public eye. We're kind of given a somewhat of a head start.
Yes. So you came up with this idea. So presumably as you were being chauffeured to college in your extended Maybach, from the success from your construction, you came up with the idea so you're leveraging existing champagne brands.
And so I actually just invested into this one. This was another, this company was already formed. I got involved at, the ground floor before they had signed any, brands to the company.
But it's all about passion. So was your passion at that point, did you know that you wanted to be an actor or were you like most sort of, college guys thinking, I have no idea what I want to do?
No, I had no idea. So I was investing and getting involved. So I got involved in the champagne, got involved in the tech company, started helping out. My father was involved in this medical marijuana company. He was helping him out with that. And I was on the beach with a friend, read a quote that I liked. It said, overworking for something you don't want is called stress. Overworking for something you love is called passion.
I saw that.
And I said, that's going to be my life. So sat there and I said, what are my passions? And there were really only two things. It was either acting or golf. And, acting was something that for some reason, my entire life, I told my family one day I'm going to be a famous actor. One day I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And, for some reason, I get that quote just kind of, it just rang true to me. And I was like, that's going to be my life. So I ended up, broke up with my girlfriend, quit my job within 2 days and ended up moved to Brooklyn, started acting again, started doing stand-up comedy. And, a few months into acting, I saw just a ton of actors, sitting on their butts waiting for opportunities. And I just don't do that. Especially with my business background, I saw that people who were getting, things done in the world were people who were going out and making it happen. So I said, if I'm going to act, I'm going to have to produce. So I said, how do I do that? I Googled it. And they said, everyone who produces goes to Sundance. So I bought a plane ticket, flew out there, didn't know anybody, and just went out there to meet people and met 4 producers on the plane. By the time I landed, I had a few parties to go to. And by the first night, I had, somewhat of an itinerary for the whole week. And Sundance is the best week ever and changed everything for me. Learned a lot about the industry, made a lot of really good relationships. Came back from Sundance, this was 2 years ago, came back from Sundance, produced my first 2 films out in New York, smaller budget films, but they were features. And then directed my first film, which was interesting. I actually wrote, produced, and directed it, and acted in it as well. And just learned a ton, really threw myself into the industry and tried to learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible. And then went out to Sundance this year, and I actually had some stuff to show and showed these relationships I already had. I showed them how much I'd done in a year and met some really much bigger producers who had some much bigger opportunities and gave me an opportunity and a few opportunities. And I was able to take advantage of them and really get involved in some big projects with, a whole different magnitude of, budgets. And it's been crazy.
But that's fine. That is an amazing story. But it's funny because it's a common thread with successful people. Where it's about doing something. So you're right. You go to one place and you see people sitting there thinking, when is the next big deal going to land in my lap? Right. But as you say, it's not about that. But also, like a lot of other very successful people, you tend to play it down a bit. So I went to Sundance, met a few people, and so now I'm an A-list actor. Something happened in between, but I think it is that real focus. It's that mission focus, isn't it? Where you said, okay, I had that moment where I'm sitting on the beach. I then knew at that moment that this is what I wanted to do. And then you made a game plan. So it's a bit like you have yourself on a map and you say, well, where am I? Where do I want to go?
I think one thing too, I think a lot of people have like this almost game plan in their head or almost this, something they want to get done, but they're just so scared. And you can't let, so many people fear itself almost. It's, everyone said to me for example, when I was moving out here, I got in my car and drove out here, pulled the best friend card, made my best friend take a week off of work and he drove with me. But you know, everyone said to me like, "Well, Zach, what if you get to LA and you don't make it, or you don't like it, or you don't do this, you don't do that?" I said, "Well, then I'll come home. You know, I'll come back, and my worst case scenario is just going back home and doing exactly what I would have done if I didn't take the chance." So I didn't see there wasn't really a risk there for me. It's perception. You know, people perceive things the way they everyone wants to look at things from just the worst perception. And I'm like, look, you know, if you don't take the chance, you'll never know. And you know, I'm actually writing a book about it. It's called Stop Thinking and Leap.
Absolutely. And,
you know, everyone wants to sit there. Everyone says, think before you leap. And I'm like, you know, that's good and all. You don't want to make stupid decisions. But at the same time, if you overthink things, you'll never let yourself go after your passions and your dreams. And what's a life without, you know, passions and dreams? That doesn't sound like a very fulfilled life to me. So
you're right. I mean, there's a great argument for teaching people to get out of their own way.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
But I think that passion comes out. So it's that. It's very difficult to manufacture this type of drive, determination, and belief in yourself. And I guess, is that something that really comes out? And you must be pretty excited because because a piercing silence. I mean, that was what, your second film that you produced?
First? Yeah. So that was, yeah, I guess it was the same time as my second. So it was second or third. But yeah, that was the first film I had ever directed. And that was something that was really just like, I wanted to create something. And I was watching Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I was watching it, and it was an amazing movie. But what really struck me, it really stuck with me, was that movie wasn't so much about the acting and him doing all these crazy things. It was really about, you know, it was these huge encapsulating images that conveyed emotion. It made you feel some kind of way. And a lot of what he was doing was, you know, body language and it was conveying emotions, not through words. And I loved the idea of that. So actually during the movie, I sat there and I wrote Piercing Silence during the movie on my phone. And, you know, it was a silent short film. It was only 13 minutes long, but you know, it was really about me. You know, I had gone through some stuff as a kid, and it was really about, you know, a kid being lost and going through, you know, turmoil in his life and being lost and then finding his passion and, you know, kind of how people find their path. And, you know, you might be lost. That doesn't mean that you're lost forever. And you know, when you're lost, you kind of got to look within and figure out what it is that you want out of life and what are you trying to do? And yeah.
But talk me through the process. So you're sitting in the cinema, mm-hmm. You know, people are tutting and throwing popcorn at you because you're busy tapping away, you know, the next blockbuster. They don't know this, obviously. They don't realize that, you know, you are the next, I don't know, think of a famous director, but, you know, the ideas are there. But what do you do with that? You know, so to all budding producers listening or watching this, what do you then do with that idea?
Well, you just got to connect dots. You know, you know, for me, I was like, okay, well, so I wrote out this little script. Again, it was a silent short, so there wasn't much dialogue. I kind of tried to map it out a little bit, so I had somewhat of an idea of, you know, people like the mood board, you know, and that's, again, this was my first time making a film from really ground up and me directing it, and it was a learning process, a huge learning process. I would do a lot of things differently, let's put it that way. I made it very difficult on myself, but... you know, I mapped it out a little bit, and then basically, you know, I don't know if you've ever read the book Think and Grow Rich.
Yes, of course.
So I all those books, you know, the 10 times rule, Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, all those books, I love all that. But one thing that Think and Grow Rich really taught me, and that has really stuck with me, was you know, the theory of like specialized knowledge. Basically, that means you don't need to know everything. But what you need to be is smart enough to surround yourself with the people that know the things you don't know. So again, you know, I had never directed a film. I didn't know much about, you know, camera technique or anything like that, lighting. I wasn't, you know, that wasn't my expertise. What I had was the vision. I knew what I wanted. I knew and I had a lot of connections and a lot of, you know, I called it a lot of, you know, favors for this.
But these are connections that you'd made yourself, presumably.
Sure, at Sundance and events. And, you know, a lot of people go out and they'll make friends, but they don't, you know, get a card, or they don't discuss how, you know, you're not using somebody if it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You know what I mean? Like everyone is looking to work with people they enjoy to be around. And
but you're trading stuff. So what you're saying is, look, I've got this great idea. I am this great person. I'm a driven person. I need this information from you. You need to tell me which way up I need to hold this camera.
Right. Well, see, so basically what I did was I found somebody, his name is Dave Prokopek. Amazing DP cameraman, had his own camera, Canon C300, I think what we shot on. But he was just very experienced. He had a great reel. I could tell that he knew the things that I didn't know. And what I brought to the table again was I was driven and I knew where to get it to and where to take it to. And I made relationships with people in certain festivals. And, you know, at this point we've done very well on the festival circuit. We've won some awards and,
yes, exactly. Because yeah, I mean, it wasn't just some awards. You won a rookie producer to win a silver award at the Hollywood Film Competition is quite good. I understand. You know.
It was cool, and it was just such a learning experience for me.
But what you're doing is you're saying, sorry, I didn't mean to divert you, but you're saying, look, there's stuff that I've got contacts. I'm driven. I'm a good guy. I don't have your specialist knowledge, but let's work together. Let's trade. I'll trade these things that I bring for what you've got, and together. Right. And I think that's
Dave had never directed a film, but he had, you know, been assistant director on films. He had been, you know, director of photography on films. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, this is an opportunity for you to direct your first film. We can co-direct it together. He's an amazing editor. So he had that, you know, in his arsenal as well. So I wouldn't have had to, you know, find somebody else to do the editing, which would cost a lot of money. Make a long story short, we ended up bringing together all these people that, you know, we shared a vision and everyone kind of got something out of it. There was a few producers who got the first producer credits on it. Some actors who were looking for, you know, for footage, and they knew that I was, you know, blasting it around the festival circuit and they were looking for exposure. So we ended up getting a lot of people together on this film that just, you know, it satisfied a different need for everybody. And
did you find yourself having to learn all the language of the movie business?
Yes and no. I read a lot about it, you know, producing for dummies, that kind of thing.
But I guess because you're throwing yourself into a new industry. And I think the point that's coming out of this quite clearly is, you know, the movie business is a business. You know, it's not, you can't just go in and expect things to happen, as we said earlier. But as part of that business, you've got to read books. You've got to understand the way that people speak. What are people looking for? Because what leapt out of the page just now is when you said he got the producer credits. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that's obviously very valuable to someone, you know, to actually get his name on IMDb, for example, where to the average guy in the street, it probably doesn't mean anything, but to that person in that sector.
Yeah.
And it's understanding, you know, what your currency is effectively.
Oh yeah. You got to realize one thing I always say to people when I'm meeting with them or, you know, even now, it's what are you looking for? What do you need? You know, how can I help you? You know, if you're helping somebody attain a goal that they've been working at, you know, they're much more likely to want to be a part of something and help you if you're helping them at the same time, you know? So it's got to be mutually beneficial. It can't just be you're serving your goals. It's got to be in, you know, for the good of the group, of the family, I always say. And, I was, for that particular project, I was looking for young, hungry people who wanted to grow like I wanted to grow. And everyone knows that I'm not a patient person and, I don't wait for things. And so, yeah, I made it very clear to them that this wasn't there's a lot of people who film films that never get seen, that never go on the festival circuit, that never get released. And I made it very clear that this was not going to be one of those films and that, you know, I was bringing more to the table than just a vision. I was bringing, you know, a plan and connections as far as festival wise. And I was going to blow this thing up. And that's what we did. And people were very happy with it.
But that's not very LA though, is it, to collaborate?
Well, yeah, I think it should be. That's what I'm preaching out here. You know, when I came out here, I had also started a series of events in New York called Indiewood.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up actually.
Yeah. So Indiewood was basically, again, I look at all this as a business, you know, it's passion, but you got to stand out. You know, everyone says, oh, when you're an actor in LA or wherever, you're just another number. And I, you know, I want to, you know, I don't understand. It's an excuse to me.
Yes.
If you want to stand out, then do something that makes you stand out. So I was in New York and I had just gotten back into the industry. And I wanted to start producing because I knew I would get myself the opportunities that I wanted way quicker. I didn't want to be one of those actors that says, oh, I auditioned for 15 years before I got my first role. I want to enjoy it now. You know, I'm in my 20s. I want to live it up. You know what I mean? I want to have a good time while doing it. And I don't want to be, you know, in my 50s when I finally get to where I want to be. And I'm not patient enough, you know? Yeah. So I came up with the idea. I wanted to start, well, it was me and a buddy of mine named Moses. Basically we started a 3-hour networking mixer for people in the entertainment industry. It was called IndieWood and IndieWood Media. And basically what we did was we just got, you know, a bunch of people in a room together. Whether, you know, we had actors, directors, producers, filmmakers, casting directors. We just tried to get everyone in the same room. So, cause that's really, you know, the whole auditioning, I'll say format model, that's good and all. And some people get there from auditioning, you know, sometimes you do get that amazing audition that you get that golden goose opportunity and you crush it and the director loves you and then you make it. But for a lot of, you know, for most people, that's not how it happens. And, so I was trying to just connect people and show value and bring people together. And so, yeah, we created this 3-hour networking mixer just to introduce people to each other. We had a 6-person panel. You know, we had a few Emmy Award winning producers, directors, a few Sundance filmmakers come. Me and my buddy Moses, we hosted it. And it was really an opportunity for us to, yes, connect a lot of people. And I was really trying to recreate the Sundance experience I had because it was just life changing for me. And I wanted my buddies to experience that in New York. But it was really an opportunity that while I was helping everyone in the process, you know, I was standing out and, I was hosting the event. I was meeting all the producers and the directors and all these people that came on the panel. I was spending a lot of time with them. And to me, it was just such a win-win because I helped out my friends who were looking for opportunities. I helped out a lot of random people that I didn't even know. And I created a lot of relationships with people that I didn't know who were looking to, you know, better their careers and better themselves while at the same time, you know, helping myself stand out. And I got a lot of opportunities from that. So
I think this shows a really core understanding of the movie or the entertainment business. So this is, did you find that this is not just about, you know, Zach Weinstein wanting to be an actor?
Yeah, it was more business in general. You know what, it kind of, when I was doing the construction, we used to go to these conventions pretty much that just had everyone from the industry that were just in these rooms. And it was like, go meet everyone. And I was like, that should be the same thing in film. And that's what Sundance was to me. I went there and I was like, I couldn't believe the people I was in the room with and the relationships I was, you know, cultivating. And that's life, you know. 95% of life, whatever you're trying to do is putting yourself in that correct room, you know? So like that's what metal is to me, you know? Yes. You got to put yourself in that right room and once you're in that room, you know, you got to do something about it. But at the end of the day, if you're never in the room, you never meet those people. And
you're right. Well, they say you don't, you know, if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery.
Exactly.
But so the Weinstein exclusive is the version two or the next generation of IndieWood. So when is that happening?
Yeah. So that'll be probably end of September. I came back. So when I moved to LA and I went to Sundance this year, I was really looking for a partner for those events because I wanted to do IndieWood, but I wanted to do it on a way larger scale. Instead of it being 150, 200 people per event, I wanted to have, you know, 1,000 to 1,500.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be, you know, a huge venue. You know, I wanted to, you know, serve alcohol, have a panel. I wanted to do the whole night. I wanted to have sponsors come on board. So I was looking for somebody with the experience of throwing much larger events. So this year at Sundance, that was one of my goals, was looking for a partner for this.
Yeah.
And ended up going the one day to the Louisiana International Film Festival, I'll say party at Sundance. And the operations director for that is my now production partner, Andrew Vogel.
Yeah.
And we met, and he was another just young, hungry actor producer who was, had his hand in tons of different projects, all different budgets as well. And you know, originally we started discussing the possibility about throwing, you know, Indiewood together, which turned into the Weinstein Exclusive is what we're calling it now.
Yeah.
But we quickly saw that him and I were very, we had a lot of good synergy, and I was calling the perfect yin to my yang. I'm very much the, you know, I'm the hype man. I'm excited. I have the vision. He's a little bit more analytical. I'm like, this is where we're going. And he's like, okay, but how are we getting there? Yeah. So it's very good. And, we ended up teaming up and starting our production company. And now we're, you know, we brought each other into a ton of different opportunities, and we're just showing value and making waves. So that's really what it's about.
And how does Dynasty Pictures fit into this landscape?
So Dynasty's our production company, and that's what we're, you know, everything is pretty much going to go through. So even now, you know, the Weinstein Exclusive, it's brought to you by Dynasty Pictures. Dynasty Pictures, our production company, we have, you know, our hands involved. I mean, we're involved in tons of projects, whether, you know, our smallest, you know, projects probably around just under $1 million, I guess, up to, you know, some of our bigger projects, which are, you know, over 20, 25 million. So, you know, we're involved in a ton of different things, whether it be, you know, us being executive producers on projects, helping with, you know, we've done everything from helping attach talent, helping attach development money, equity, you know, really anything, helping set up with film commissions for certain tax incentives in different states. Again, it's just us getting in the right rooms with the right people and saying, what do you need? How can we help you? And when we tell them we're going to do something, we go out and do it, which is apparently something that people don't do, which is just,
well, that's right. There's this concept of, you know, of talking about it seems to be the way forwards, but actually, no, you seem to have to do stuff here. So of all these different areas that, I mean, how long have you been here now? So 2-3 years, something like that?
I've been here for 7 months.
7 months. Yeah. So that's a very accelerated set of achievements. So is there something that has leapt out of all your experiences where you think, this is what I want to do? Is there a particular element of the entertainment business where you think, I'm going to really dominate this part?
Well, you know, I always say, you know, acting is my passion. I am obsessed with acting. That's why I'm doing all this. I produce because I know I'm good at it. I know how to make waves and make things happen. And again, I'm not patient. I don't want to wait for it. I want it now. But every time I'm on set and I get to act, and I always say it's like playing make believe. And I don't like to toot my own horn. I know I'm good at it, and I love it, and it's fun. It doesn't feel like work. And every time I'm on set, I'm like, yes, this is why I'm doing this. And it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling when you feel like you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And, you know, again, I felt so lost for so long, and it wasn't that I wasn't making money or wasn't, you know, quote unquote successful. But to me, success isn't, it's not making money. It's not, you know, buying nice things. It's being happy and feeling fulfilled. And, you know, I'd rather feel fulfilled and be happy and be broke than to be miserable and make money, because I've done that, you know. And yeah, it doesn't matter if you're making six figures, if you aren't happy when you wake up in the morning and you dread going to work. And I'm a person that, if I, you know, I'm very 0 to 100, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. But if I'm not happy and I'm not passionate about it and I'm not driven, like that, then I lose my edge, you know?
Yes. But do you find though that when you're acting or when you're in that position, the fact that you've got all of this success behind you, does that change the way that you see yourself? Does that give you a foundation? Does that give you more of an ability to be who you want to be?
Well, as far as acting goes, I think life experience is a huge thing for acting. So I think, you know, the more you go through, the more you can, you know, kind of pull upon when you're trying to, you know, be in someone, you know, when you're trying to live in someone else's shoes, I'll say, when you're trying to act and really give that role some, you know, realism, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, as far as the way business has changed my outlook on acting, it's really from the producer standpoint, because I just see now the other side of things. You know, I see that, I mean, especially nowadays, a lot of this industry isn't based on your acting. And it's sad, but you know, so much of this industry nowadays is what you know, who you know, or your social media following.
I read somewhere that there was a, I can't remember the names, but there was a, an actress who was turned down because the person who was also going for the role had a bigger social media following. So,
oh yeah. I mean, that's all over the place. I mean, you hear about it every day, all these social, all these YouTube sensation guys who have, you know, 5 to 10 million followers, but have never acted before. And now they're getting the lead in a feature film because the companies don't care. They're like, well, wait a minute. 10 million people are going to see this movie just because, and they get free advertising out of it every day. Cause obviously the guys are going to post it on their social media pages. So, you know, it really is a business, and you know, it makes a lot of the creatives in this industry really frustrated because they're like, hey, you know, what about me? I've been auditioning for 10 years and I was doing Broadway plays for 2 years and I was doing this and that. And that's great and all. And it's great to be a great actor. I think, you know, talent is a big thing, but at the end of the day, if you're not showing more value than that, like, this is a business and you have to recognize that, or you get left behind. Obviously it happens sometimes where you get this amazing audition and the guy loves you and the director loves you. But instead of me auditioning with 10,000 other people who look just like me, for the casting director who might take me to the producer, take me to the director who might take me to the producer. Like, I would rather just meet the producer and the director.
Yes.
And exactly. Show some value and get involved in the project from the beginning and have a leg up, you know, and that's not being, it's being smart.
And what, is there something that you've learned in the last, in this enormously long 7 months that you've spent here? I mean, it's obviously been a baptism by fire, but what have you learned that where you go, Jesus, God, I mean, I never thought it was going to be like that. Is there something that's really leapt out of the page?
It's the more in business in general, the more I see, the more I'm in business. You know, I only graduated from college in 2013. So like the more I'm in, I'll say, the quote unquote real world, I just see a lot of people. It always surprises me that nobody really has their stuff together. You know what I mean? Everyone's kind of just figuring it out. And even when I was doing, you know, the construction jobs for these huge retail companies that nationwide or worldwide, I mean, I was always so shocked by, you get there and nobody knew what was going on. And it was just a bunch of people trying to figure out life. And that's really all it is, wherever you are, no matter what industry it is to me. You know, it's you get there, figure it out, show some value, do what you say you're going to do. And, you know, when you get those opportunities, you better hustle because you don't get big opportunities often. And when you do, you better show some value because that's what gets you the bigger opportunities.
So let's talk about the book. So did the book come first or did the experience come first? And you think, I just have to get this down on paper.
So I started jotting down this book in my notes on my phone. I guess it was probably 6 months after I quit my job and started really went full blown actor. I got lucky because I when I really committed myself to it, when I was getting out of the facility maintenance business, I'd call it, yeah. My father owns a construction company as well. And he made an offer to me. He's like, why don't you move back to Baltimore? At this point, you know, I think you're ready to kind of start being groomed for the family business kind of thing. And I had actually accepted it. And I was like, I'll do it. You know, and I'd always wanted to work with him. And, you know, I remember being 2 years old and him taking me on the job sites and me being, you know, felt like a Lion King moment, like everything the sun touches is yours. But
does he know you're in LA? I mean,
or... yeah. So, but yeah, exactly.
He doesn't think, you know, my son's working for me in Baltimore.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm paying him a fat salary. Yeah. but I had actually accepted it. And for like five, I guess it was like 3 or 4 days after, I just was, I don't know what was happening. I was so in my head and so in my, like, in, I had this feeling in my chest. And I called my dad and I talked to him about it. I was very honest with him. I told him what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he was very supportive. And he said to me, he said, you know, honestly, this is the only time if you're going to do it, you should do it. And I said, yeah, you know, I agreed. And, you know, I went after it. But I just, I guess it was right after that, I saw how happy I became. And I auditioned for a few things. I auditioned for a few off-Broadway plays. And I didn't realize at the time, like, how big of a deal it was at the time. But, like, you know, I had auditioned for this this it was called, it was a troupe. It was like a sketch comedy kind of group. And we did, you know, I guess it was like 10 off-Broadway shows in the span of a month and a half. And they filled the room with industry agents, you know, casting directors, whatnot. And I ended up booking this role. You know, it was, I didn't realize at the time how many people were going for it, but it was really cool. And I booked it, it was 3 weeks after me deciding I was going to be an actor, I was doing these off-Broadway shows. I guess it was a month after.
Yeah. So yeah, how easy is it? Yeah. Sorry, but I guess after that point, yes.
It was more for me. It wasn't like, I'm so good at this, or, oh, this is so easy. It was more of like, holy crap. Like, when you put yourself on that right path and you follow your passion, you follow your heart, all of a sudden, like, things just become so clear. Yeah. And I remember being like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I just stopped thinking and I just leapt, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm going to write that book. And so I started jotting down notes about stop thinking and leap. And I was just talking about the things I was going through at the time. And slowly but surely, all the things I was writing down were, they were happening. And you know, like my buddies always make fun of me because I'm always posting like these inspirational quotes and Facebook things about, you know, these inspirational videos. And, you know, they'll always say to me, like, you know, what, why do you do that? Like, why are you always posting this stuff? I'm like, cause I want to see it, you know, I want to be the light that you want to see in the world. That's what that my biggest thing is. You know, I want to use this platform to do crazy things. You know, I want to change the world, and I want to be, you know, I don't want to just be an actor producer who people recognize or anything like that. I want to be somebody who leaves my stain on the world and changes the world for the better and makes it a better place. And, you know, that's what I think this book is. You know, if I can help, you know, one or two people discover what I discovered, I think I'm doing my part. And
I think you're right, because the word is discovery. In other words, it exists. You just have to find it.
Exactly.
You know, it's not, you don't have to, you have to create it to a certain extent, but it's already there. And that's what a lot of really successful people find, is that
perception, right?
It is that, you know, we have these discussions about Elon Musk and his, and Bill Gates and, you know, all of these great entrepreneurs and business leaders, how their attitude to impossibility, you know, the word doesn't exist. And it's fantastic to hear what you're saying, because you're creating this world for yourself, because this is what I want to do and no one's going to stop me.
Right. And another thing about that, what you were just saying, is when somebody, if I'm in a meeting and somebody gives me, you know, I say, what are you looking for? And they give me some absurd request. A lot of people are like, oh, that's impossible. And I'm like, you know, I don't care if it's impossible. I will do everything I can to make that possible. And even if I can't make it possible, the person who gave me that opportunity will see me busting my butt for it. And they will recognize what I'm doing and recognize the hustle and recognize that, you know, hopefully they see where I'm going, and I just need the right opportunity. And that's what I'm selling. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, even if every deal that I try to make come to fruition doesn't happen, they see how hard I work and they see how hard I try and they see what I'm doing, and to show them.
But those are characteristics that just make you successful in any field.
Right.
And I guess that's what you're putting in the book, is look, it's possible. You can do all these things. It's all in your head. And I had this great vision when you were talking earlier about the people working for the big companies when you were in your facilities maintenance. You're looking at them thinking, you know, what's going on? You know, why haven't you got your shit together?
$1 billion company. Right.
You know, but this, it's amazing. Listen, I have more questions for you.
Yeah, please.
I have my questionnaire here, actually.
Yeah, please do it.
So we're going to dive into this, because this was originally, I basically borrowed this from James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio, because it's probably the best questionnaire out there. And I think he borrowed it from this French talk show host called Bernard Pivot. So all questionnaires are borrowed, effectively. But here is the first question. What is your favorite word?
Leap, you know? You got to go for it. If you don't ever take the leap, then you're never going to know. And the one thing that, back to the construction, is one of the things that really made me go for it was every day I was subcontracting up and down the, you know, the East Coast and a little bit of the West Coast. And all these guys who were my subcontractors were the, you know, 50, 60-year-old men who would just every day tell me it was just sad to listen to. They tell, I wish I did this. I could have done this. I would have done this. I should have done this. I wish I could go back. Like, and I just remember thinking like, wow, if there's one thing I don't want to be, it's somebody who's just full of regrets. And if you don't leap, you'll never know. And you know, that's
brilliant. Definitely. That's pretty sick. So what is your least favorite word?
I guess I can't, you know, like I, it doesn't exist. If you, you know, if, even if you can't, like I was saying, even if you can't get an opportunity to, you know, fully into fruition, you have to just notice all the other opportunities that are coming out of that hard work, you know? Again, it's perception, you know, it's how you perceive the impossible. And, just because it's impossible right now doesn't mean it won't be possible tomorrow. And once you get the right person to recognize, that's all it takes is just one person to believe in you. And then you can literally do anything.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what are you most excited about right now?
I'm just excited that I'm living a life of passion. You know, every day I wake up and I'm happy and I'm excited and I'm driven and I have my end goals and I have my projects set up. You know, everything I'm producing, I'm acting in. You know, I'm really excited to, you know, me and my production partner, we've been getting our hands in so many different projects, all different ranges of budgets and all different genres and all different places we'll be shooting. And I'm excited to finally get to act, you know, like, yeah. You know, like so much of this has been the producing side of things right now. I'm setting up all these things, which are great. We both are, you know, we're hustling hard. We have meetings all day, but once we actually get to be on set, that again, that's the passion. So
it's awesome. I can feel it. I can feel it here.
Right. It's awesome to be setting up the passion, but once you're actually there and you get the acting, it's amazing. I think it makes better people too. So
what turns you off right now?
Excuses. People telling me that they can do something and then just not, you know, don't tell me you can do it if you can't. Like, and if you're going to say you can do it, at least try. You know,
okay, give me the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. Like if you're a lot of people, I say like to talk sometimes just to hear their voice, and you know, it's about the hustle. If not a lot of people can hustle like that, and that's fine. I don't need to be around. I'm not expecting every person to come into a situation and to be as amped as I am or enthusiastic as I am. That's my job.
Yeah. You know?
But at the end of the day, do what you say you can do, and don't come up with excuses, you know?
Okay. So what sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love? I always like hearing yes. Yes. That's always
it's three fun. Letters, yeah.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Sound or noise do I hate? It's I'd say no, you know, the sound, you know, people saying no, but it's really just a lack of enthusiasm, you know? You can hear it in somebody's voice when they're not passionate about what they're doing.
Yes.
And if they're not passionate about what they're doing and they don't believe in themselves, why am I going to believe in you? Why, you know? You know, I don't care. Obviously you want to work with people who are talented. But I would rather work with a less talented person who's enthusiastic and happy to be there and who's just, you know, just radiating energy than somebody who's the most talented person out there and is just miserable to be around, especially that because you're a family for a month. And
the mood hoover, you know,
that energy translates over so well. You know, I know for me when I'm on set, one of my favorite things about being on set is I'm so excited to be there and I'm so hyped to be there that I know everyone feels it. That's why I get invited to other sets. See, even when I'm not acting, you know, just to be on set, and because I bring energy, and I know I do, because I'm so happy to be there. Because I compare it to construction. Well,
I heard this expression the other day. The opposite to that is a fun sponge.
Okay.
A fun sponge. But,
I like that.
But the next question: what is your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word. I guess shithead.
That's fabulous. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Stop being a shithead, you know? Yeah. What you say you're going to just go with this. Yeah, shithead.
And what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
What I was saying, you know, the acting and the producing, I do it. I love it. I'm passionate about it. But I want to change the world. you know? I don't know if there's a word for that, but I guess metal calls it the disruptors. You know, I want to be one of the, you know, when I went to metal the first time, I saw Ken, you know, yes. Ken Rakowski, obviously. And Ken to me was just this amazing connector.
Yes.
And that's something I've always wanted to be. He has this passion and enthusiasm for life, and it's so just intoxicating, but it also makes you want to be around him, you know?
Yes.
And it's magnetic. And I saw Ken, and the first time I saw him, I said to him, I was like, what you're doing is what I want to do. Like Ken is, you know, my goal. You know, I want to be just like that. I want to be a connector. I want to be somebody who is one of the biggest facilitators. I want to connect dots for people, make the world a better place. I just want to, again, leave my stain and leave the world way, you know, better than when I found it. And,
I can see that feeling of synthesis, of creation, of momentum. So what profession would you not like to attempt?
Anything that's not passion. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You couldn't pay me enough money to,
I know that feeling.
You know, like, and, you know, if you're somebody who is, you know, I have plenty of friends who are accountants and they love it, you know, but I know for me that just, my brain, the way I am, you sit me behind a computer for 12 hours in a day and I will not be a happy camper.
You'd be a different Zach than you are right now.
I mean, that's, back to the construction, at the end of it, I had said I had lost my spark. You know, yeah, I call it my spark, and it's my passion, my enthusiasm. That's what I sell. All I'm selling is that's all I have. You know, to me, you know, obviously I like to think I'm good at other things, but my biggest draw, I know, is and also what I consider the biggest currency in the world is the effect you have on others.
Absolutely.
And time, but the effect you have on others can generate into anything. And if you lose that spark and you're not doing something you're passionate about, then, you know, I wouldn't know what to sell, you know?
Which leads us nicely onto the last question, which is, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You killed it, man.
Imagine that. Get a high five from God. Yeah. Okay.
Hey. Kudos, bro.
Fist bump.
Exactly. Hey, you know, I just like to think that I put my all into it, and that I didn't waste any potential. So many people just don't take advantage of what they have, and I'm doing everything I can to live the life I'm trying. You know, I'm just a life of passion. And people want, you know, I think when you're exuding that energy and you're living a life like that, I think people recognize, people want to be around it. And like I was saying about Ken, you know, he's magnetic, and that's what I want to be. I want to be magnetic. I want people to, you know, I want to change everything. You know?
I can feel it from here. So, you know, so far, so good. You know, it's like, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find out more about you, about Dynasty Pictures?
Yeah, for sure. So my website, zacweinstein.com, zacweinstein.com. dynastypictures.com as well. If you want to follow my posts and everything, social media wise, Instagram is at Zach Weinstein. So at Z-A-C Weinstein, W-E-I-N-S-T-E-I-N. And pretty good with keeping up with my social media. So yeah, got a lot of good things going on. You can see some behind the scenes stuff that we're doing, and you know, some good stuff.
Well, I can't wait. It's going to be brilliant following you. And I can see that, you know, it's not going to be long before, you know, those two words that comprise your name will be flashed all over.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Zach, thank you. I can't begin to thank you. It's been brilliant. I love having you on the show. Look forward to seeing you again.
Yes, I can't wait, man. Thank you so much.